Why do smart companies make disastrous decisions? Consider two tech mergers with similar revenue profiles. One spectacularly fails, while Cisco successfully acquires dozens of companies without a hitch. The difference isn't luck, it's evidence-based management. Stanford professors Jeffrey Pfeffer and Robert Sutton expose how conventional business wisdom often contradicts hard research in their influential work. The book has transformed decision-making at companies like Intel and Google, with Warren Buffett reportedly keeping a copy on his desk. What makes it so powerful is its fundamental challenge. Most business decisions are based on hope, fear, imitation, or ideology rather than facts. If doctors practiced medicine the way many companies practice management, patients would die in droves. The good news? Evidence-based management isn't difficult and produces superior results while generating sustainable competitive advantage. The business knowledge marketplace is broken. With 30,000-plus business books in print and 3,500 new ones published yearly, managers face an overwhelming flood of contradictory advice. Should you hire charismatic or modest CEOs? Embrace complexity or simplicity? Focus on strategy or avoid it? This contradiction exists because the marketplace rewards consultants for selling ideas rather than ensuring effectiveness. They're paid for getting work, sometimes for doing good work, but rarely for whether their advice actually improves performance. As Daryl Rigby of Bain noted, you can get data on toothpaste effectiveness, but not on million-dollar business interventions. Evaluating business knowledge requires six standards. Treat old ideas as old, not revolutionary discoveries. Be suspicious of breakthrough claims. Value collective wisdom over lone genius theories. Acknowledge both virtues and drawbacks of practices. Use success stories as illustrations, not proof. Maintain neutrality toward ideologies. Most importantly, cultivate what Pfeffer and Sutton call an attitude of wisdom, knowing what you know while recognizing what you don't know. While renowned companies like IDEO do have great people, attributing their success solely to hiring smart people is fundamentally misleading. Though IDEO's founder David Kelly claims he just hires some smart people and gets out of the way, the evidence indicates natural talent is overrated for sustaining organizational performance. The talent mindset rests on three flawed assumptions: that individual ability is fixed, that people can be reliably sorted based on abilities, and that organizational performance is simply the sum of individual performances. Yet even in professional sports, where talent should be easily identified, many top players weren't recognized early in their careers. The best predictors of performance aren't that reliable. IQ, the strongest predictor, explains only 16% of performance variation. What really matters? Organizations function as complex systems where performance depends on resources, colleague support, and infrastructure, not just individual talent. NASA's space shuttle disasters illustrate this principle. Despite personnel changes after Challenger, Columbia failed 17 years later due to the same systemic flaws. Similarly, Toyota's success stems from its robust system, not individual brilliance. We're collectively obsessed with financial incentives, believing they're the primary driver of performance. Organizations invest heavily in pay systems, assuming people work mainly for money and would slack off without incentives. This fixation stems partly from what Chip Heath calls an extrinsic incentives bias, our tendency to overestimate how much others care about pay while underestimating their intrinsic motivations. His research shows people consistently believe others are primarily motivated by money, even when they themselves are not. A Watson Wyatt survey found high performers ranked financial rewards 9th out of 10 motivational factors, below reputation, feeling appreciated, and finding meaning in their work. Financial incentives can drive behavior, as seen at Safelite Glass, where productivity increased 44% after switching to piece rate pay. But this worked because the job was ideal for incentives. individual work with no interdependence, easily measured quality, and clear goals. Most organizations lack these conditions, often leading to disaster when incentives work too well but in the wrong direction, like New Orleans police reclassifying serious crimes as minor offenses to meet reduction targets. We're obsessed with leadership, producing countless studies and publications on the topic. Our culture portrays leaders as all-powerful figures with complete command over organizations. Business media describes CEOs as single-handedly fixing companies, with compensation reflecting these beliefs. The average CEO of America's largest companies earns 531 times more than the average worker. Despite this conventional wisdom, leaders have far less influence than commonly thought. Studies consistently show that leaders' actions explain only about 10% of performance differences between organizations. A 20-year study of 167 companies found that industry and company-specific factors had much larger effects on performance than leadership changes. This perception bias occurs because leaders are visible while constraints affecting them remain invisible, the fundamental attribution error. We use cognitive shortcuts to make sense of complex organizations, finding comfort in believing someone is in control. While leaders must project confidence to gain influence, they shouldn't believe their own hype. Research shows that power fundamentally changes behavior, making people more self-centered and less aware of how their actions affect others. Evidence-based management isn't a list of techniques, but a perspective on organizational life, a way of thinking about what works, what doesn't, and what to try next. Successful companies develop an attitude of wisdom that balances knowing and doubting. Examples include Cisco's refined merger process, Enterprise Rent-A-Car's customer loyalty experiments, and Amazon's philosophy of maximizing invention per unit of time through small team experiments. QVC exemplifies this approach with real-time broadcast adjustments and daily postmortems to understand why certain product pitches succeed while others fail. The most revealing diagnostic question about an organization is, what happens when people fail? While painful, there is no learning or innovation without failure. Effective organizations create psychological safety where people can discuss mistakes openly. The best approach comes from medicine. Forgive and remember. Forgive so people admit inevitable errors. Remember so the same mistakes don't recur. The myth of superhuman executives with magical powers is nonsense. Research shows leaders operate in messy, uncertain environments filled with interruptions and unplanned interactions. Their crucial role is promoting curiosity so everyone continuously learns and applies evidence to improve. The best leaders know when to be students and when to be teachers. As DaVita CEO Kent Thierry says, a question well asked is half answered. Evidence-based management isn't about having all the answers. It's about asking better questions and building organizations that can test assumptions, learn from failures, and adapt based on what works. In a business world drowning in certainty, the most powerful competitive advantage may be the willingness to say, I don't know, let's find out. By replacing dangerous half-truths with hard facts and thoughtful experimentation, we can build organizations that learn faster, adapt better, and deliver sustainable results.